Good morning, everybody. I'm Tony, and I'm a real alcoholic. And when I say a real alcoholic, what that means is when I drink, I destroy my life and anybody that's connected to me. Thank you for everybody that fixed breakfast this morning, and thank you, Natalie, for calling me. But now, men, I'm going to warn you, if you see Natalie's number come up, be careful, because whoever trained her well. Because she just pumped my ego up about that big and then asked me to come. So, you know, I couldn't tell her no. So be careful. You know, I've had a lot of time to think about this week. And, of course, everything that I thought about's gone this morning. So I'm just going to wing it. And I'm going to try not to focus on my drunkalogue too much. Because mine's just like everybody else's. I drink. I get drunk and my life gets messed up. It's been that way most of my life. Now, as she said, my first time in here was back in 1989, and I see a couple of faces in the rooms that were here with me. And after about 10 and a half years, I made the mistake that everybody that has went out makes. I thought I was cured. I didn't need as many meetings. I didn't need to call my sponsor. And then I drank again and totally, completely destroyed everything that God had given me. Now, my sobriety date this time is August 1st, 2001. And don't worry, because 13 is my lucky number. But, you know, there's a couple of differences, and when I came in the first time, I really didn't think that I was an alcoholic. I came up here to prove to someone that I didn't belong here, and then ended up staying all that time. Excuse me. The next time, in 2001, was different for me, because I came crawling back in. I knew that my life was, I mean, I had just completely destroyed everything that God gave me. And I'm going to tell you, when I come in here and I work the steps and I get on the God of my understanding's team, then He just makes things happen. And when I say that, I mean, I run a very successful business. And if I drink, I can destroy that. And again, I have proof. I've just done it time after time. But the difference for me this time was, again, I knew the mistake that I made. You know, I'm not cured. I'm never going to be cured. This is a one day at a time thing. And it's just how well are you working the steps is how happy you're going to be. And that's, again, my opinion. But I came crawling back in 2001, and some of these things I'm going to say, y'all have heard before. But now, when I came back in this time, see, I didn't know what color your hair was. I didn't know what color your eyes were. I didn't really know your face. Now, I could tell you what kind of shoes you had on, and that's because I couldn't hold my head up. I was so full of guilt and shame and remorse, and then just for a person with an ego like mine, I couldn't believe that I had destroyed everything again. So I tell you that because today, see, I remember how that felt. Today, I still remember the devastation that I caused. And today, I go to a lot of meetings. I travel a lot. I go to meetings in different states. I go to a meeting over by my office. I've joined a new home group in Montezuma, Georgia, which is where I live now. And I go to meetings. I call my sponsor. I reach out. I talk to people because I don't want to do that again. My story, again, it's just like, I mean, my kids hated me. was divorced. I actually had cancer. They had repossessed my car again. They were repossessing my house. My business was in the trash. I mean, that's where I started again this time. And my parents, they were done with me. They weren't going to help me no more. And you couldn't trust me. So a lot of pain coming in. And then just like all of us, right when I come back in, I had to bury a brother. And it wasn't too long after that, I had to bury my father and bury my mother. And the only point I want to make is it wasn't easy. And again, the ending is happy. So came back in, started doing the deal, and my life just gets great. And great today. I mean, you know, when your son looks you in the eye and tells you that he hates your guts. I mean, I don't know how y'all are, but now I'm telling you, that took me a while to get over that. But now I can tell you today that my son loves me. And my son's got two beautiful granddaughters that he lets me take. He's got two beautiful daughters, I'm sorry, that he lets me take anywhere I want to take them. And I said I was getting divorced. Now, and I did, and that was okay. But today, I'm married to the prettiest red-headed grandma y'all have ever seen in your life. And I'm telling you, she's pretty. And she takes such good care of me that I really don't deserve it. And then here's the key for me. Somebody was wanting to blackmail me with this recording log. I told them, go ahead, because with her, I have no secrets. And man, I don't know about you alcoholics, but for this one, that is just phenomenal. But I go to a lot of meetings, and I tell you, I love to hear new things. And I was in a meeting just the other day, and I've never heard this before. You might have. Somebody said, you know, if the only tool in your bag is a hammer, then everything is going to look like a nail. And, you know, I related to that. And I mean, Natalie told a story one time, and when she was telling it, I'm thinking, well, she's talking about me. But she wasn't. She was talking about her. But now I related to her story. I knew exactly how she felt. And I'm gonna share this. I got a friend in Montezuma, and he shared this in a meeting, so it's not a secret. His name's Jake, and Jake works on a big dairy farm, and I'm talking 5,000 head of cattle. They milk them in the morning, they milk them in the evening. Now Jake has convinced me that he's an alcoholic, and he comes in the mail. I believe him, but now, and again, hearing things you've never heard before. Now he told this story, and I related, and I hope you find humor in it. But Jake said he was hooking the cows up, he was getting them ready to milk, and something happened to one of them, and it kicked him in the face. He said he was all right for a minute, and he looked, and then he saw the blood running everywhere. Then he got mad. He said, and you know, they lock these cows in a headlock while they're milking them. He said, I run over and I kicked that cow. And he said, I went back and I cleaned up. And he said, I just got madder. And I went over and kicked her again. And then he said, I got my little zapper and I zapped her a few times. Then he said, all I could think about was butchering her. And the point is, the cow hurt him and he wanted to hurt the cow. So he went home. And then he said he got to thinking about it, and he prayed. And then he got to thinking about what he did to the cow. Now, y'all know where this is going. So he come back for the second shift, and he realized that he had done something, spooked that cow. So he went and got her. He got two of her buddies, brought them in there together. He gave her a little extra feed. And he told her he was sorry. Now, he was serious. And the thing is, I'm relating to it. I mean, I don't know how many times I have been so angry that I want to kill somebody. And it's that anger that drives me mad. And the only way that I used to know how to numb it was with alcohol. But today, you know, I remember very clearly thinking, well, you know, I'm really a pretty nice guy. If y'all give me a chance, you'll like me. But now I learned just the opposite. I'm an angry son of a gun. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. I'm a liar. I'm all of that when I'm out there drinking. But anger motivates me. So learning how to deal with that has been fantastic for me. Now, I lived here for 29 years, and a lot of faces in here I know. Now, when Natalie called me, I told her I'd check my calendar, and I'd call her back, and you know, I'm slow sometimes, so I missed the fact that we were moving our North Carolina warehouse this week. So I was actually in Greensboro, North Carolina yesterday at 3:00, and I drove here so that I could be here this morning. And when I came in, I called my son. I said, "Won't y'all meet me for dinner and bring the kids?" And they're like, "Great." So we went over to O'Charley's. And when I walked in, there was a table about that long, and I looked, and there was like 18 alcoholics sitting at that table. They just left the 6:00 meeting, and I knew 16 of them. And then when we're all shaking hands and saying hey, and my son's like, he's looking, my daughter-in-law is looking, and my granddaughter, she's just like, "Bop, bop, do you just know everybody in here?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know all of them." But it was a group from the 6:00, and just to see the faces and to watch them laughing and enjoying the company, you know, again, just a bright spot in my life. And it was good to see all of them. It's good to see all of y'all, because I've missed you, I promise. Now, you talk about a change now. You see this meeting now, big meeting in Montezuma, Georgia, is about 12. That's a big one. I have been to meetings where there's just two of us. Now, we're working hard to try to change that. But I got a new sponsor. His name's Tony also. Man, pretty good. But I'm staying connected. I got to stay connected because I know what's going to happen. I mean, I've proved it. I've proved it, and I've seen some of you prove it. So I'm just grateful to be here. And again, when Natalie called me, I really couldn't tell her no. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't. But when I'm here, see, I'm going to tell you, and please don't take it that I'm bragging, because I'm going to tell you, I came in here with nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nobody was going to help me. They'd done taken everything away from me, and nothing. Today, now we talk about I moved to Montezuma, Georgia for a couple of reasons. Number one, that puts me in between two of my businesses. Now, I run a very successful business, and when I say successful, I got somewhere around 80 employees, 40 trucks on the road. We cover 5 states. And again, God is good. I'm fixing to buy some more businesses down in Tallahassee, Florida. And again, I'm just telling you that because I know there's somebody in here this morning that don't have any hope. Just like when I came in, I had no hope. My life was over as far as I was concerned. And that's not the case today. Today, life is just grand. And I even employ some sober alcoholics. Now, I've tried a whole lot more than I got. Because, you know, it says in the big book that some of us are very talented. Well, that's when we're sober. And when we're not sober, it's not good sometimes. But anyway, I moved to Montezuma, Georgia with that beautiful grandma. And we actually own a farm. Well, we have cattle, we have horses, we got a goat, we got a bunch of cats and dogs, and it's just God's creation, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it, and I'm just so grateful to get up every day and know that God is going to take care of me if I do what I'm supposed to do. And just if you're struggling with hope this morning, just hang on, you know, and don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle happens. And it's going to be a miracle if you're like me and you can go a day without drinking. That's a miracle. I drank every day. Now, I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, but I did a lot of drugs. And really, what I have figured out is I did the kind of drugs that would allow me to drink all day and all night for about 3 or 4 days before I finally just burn out and crashed. And then I would wake up, tell myself I'm not going to do it again, and then next day I'd be starting over, doing it again. And this time for me, I knew the only way that I was going to quit drinking was to come back up here. The only way. And I made a phone call one day to two men that I had not seen in a while. Two men that loved me very much and was very worried about me. One of them was Mike Cook. And some of y'all know Mike. The other one was Mark G, who is my best friend. I called them up, and they were so glad to hear from me. And I told them, I said, I need to come back. And they're like, well, come on. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, I need to come back. And if I drive into the parking lot, and you're not standing out there waiting on me, I'm going to keep going. Well, they're good guys, and they were waiting on me. But now, I came back in, and I was not ready to quit drinking. So I would come to a meeting and go drink. Come to a meeting and go drink. I did that for a little while, but I kept coming back. Now, you want to talk about miserable. That will make you miserable. But now one day, I woke up and I didn't drink. And one day at a time, I just start putting my life back together. And one day at a time, you know, again, I just thank the good Lord that I'm here. But, you know, I fought, I kicked, and I screamed all the way, because now I make the kind of messes that take like 5 and 6 years to clean up. And cleaning them up is very painful sometimes. And then, like I said, when you're trying to do this deal, and then, you know, all of a sudden my dad got sick. And thank goodness we had already negotiated the deal, and I bought the company from him before he got sick. But he died, and then 5 months later, my mom died, and I'm still sober. And I'm going to tell you that at my dad's funeral, now my dad was a popular guy, but now there were more AA people at my dad's funeral than there were anybody else. And none of them knew him. They knew me. They were there carrying me. And I thank every one of them, because I needed that. I couldn't do it by myself. And it was the same with my mom. And And I'm just telling you, the program works. The friends that I have today are just real friends. And you know, and I'm talking about the kind of friend that if they don't see me for a day or two, they're calling. Hey, you all right? Yeah, I'm good. But and again, I love the program. And I just went blank, I'm sorry. I have missed the people here. You know, because this is my life here at the Howe Place. But I feel your love. You know, every now and then somebody will call me. You doing all right? Yep, I'm good. But all of that trouble, including, and I told you I had cancer, I'm 10 years clean. Man. Now, I don't know how y'all are, but now when they told me I had cancer, I was already planning the funeral. That's what I do. You know, this like the part they read in how, I think it's how it works, where fear of economic insecurity will leave us. Now, I'm telling you, I've told you about my businesses, but it ain't left me yet. So, I know it's all right, but, you know, and again, it's my thinking. My problem is my thinking. See, I'm even not drinking. I can, and I've done this a bunch of times before. I wake up one morning and I look at Kim and I go, you know, that hair's getting a little gray. And then, you know, well, she's kind of gained some weight. And she's not treating me like she used to. And I'm telling you, if I play that in my head for a day or two, I'll be packing my bags ready to get a divorce. And she won't have a clue because it's all up here. And I can do the same thing at work. You know, if I tell myself I don't like my job in a day or two, I'm not going to like it. And I'm going to want to quit. That's what I do. So and the problem is up here. The drink is just a symptom. It took me a long time to figure that out. And then when I drink, I just make it worse. Because when I drink, I don't have a program where I can work through it. I don't have a friend that I can call to help me work through, or a sponsor. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have a sponsor, you need to get one. Sponsorship is one of the most important pieces in here, in my opinion. Working the steps, get a sponsor, and a God of your understanding. And I'm going to tell you, my God is a great God. He's kind, He's loving, and if I let Him, He'll take care of me. But now, again, you know, I wake up, my prayer in the morning, and now prayer was always hard for me, and Mike Cook taught me, he said, boy, he always called me boy. He used to piss me off. And he'd come through that door, and I'd be sitting up here, and he'd holler at me, boy. And the room would be full like this. But now, he watched me struggle with praying. And him and Mark both watched me. I struggled with God. I was so mad at God that He let all this happen to me and that He did this to me. And So Mike taught me, just put your shoes under the bed. And when you kneel down to get your shoes, just say, thank you, God. And you know, as simple as that sounds, it works. And then Mark, he watched me struggle with the God thing. And one day he says, you just really, you're fighting that. I'm like, no, I'm mad at Him. I can't trust Him. I don't even know if I like Him. She, him, whatever. And he goes, could you believe that I believe? And it was like, I can do that. Now, that for me was that little mustard seed. Put my shoes under the bed. I believed it. Mark believed it. I didn't. I'm telling you. But now I believed he did. I even thought he was a fool a time or two. But I kept coming here. I kept hanging out with him. kept hanging out with Mike. And eventually, I'd watch some of y'all. And see, and then I realized there was more than Mark in here that believed that the God of their understanding could help them. And then before you know it, I believed. And I'm going to tell you today, I'm convinced. There's no doubt in my mind that he can help me. There's no doubt in my mind, without him, I don't have a chance. Because I've been there. And it's a bad place to be. You know, I was talking about my mind earlier, you know, and I know we've all heard this. My mind's like a bad neighborhood, and you do not want to go there alone because you're going to be in trouble. So I try to keep God with me. I try to keep you with me. And again, life is grand. I love the program. I do. It has given me so much. So much. And that could all be gone tomorrow. A couple of people asked me, well, if it's all gone tomorrow, are you still going to feel like that? I hope so. I mean, I hope so. But now I hope that I keep doing what I'm supposed to do, and I'm really not going to have to worry about that. Just next right thing, one foot in front of the other, one day at a time. Now, that sounds so simple when I say it. But when I try to do it, sometimes it's not. And I know that I'm not the only one that's struggled with that. You know, again, you know, people share their experience, strength, and hope. You know, I tell you the thing about Jake, and then I'm telling you, Natalie, that day she was telling that story about her, and I'm going, she's been watching me. And I don't know how many other times I've been sitting in a meeting and somebody shares something and I go, how do they get in my mind? And the thing is, they're not. It's what happened to them. And I can relate to it because I'm a lot like them. A lot like them. And as long as I do this, I got a wonderful life. Now, and I say wonderful. I'm living a dream. You know, to go from rags to riches, and there's no other way to put it. I mean, that's where I've gone. And it's just been a phenomenal ride. Phenomenal. And it keeps going, and it just keeps getting better and better every day. Every day that I'm here. And there's been times this time, see, where that drink popped into my mind. But because I was still going to meetings, because I was praying, I made it through. You know, and I want to be clear, I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to think about drinking sometime. You know, I entertain a lot. Customers, I mean, we go to like Vegas and conventions and Nashville. And I'm telling you, it's my job to entertain. I'm talking about a hospitality suite with free liquor. Kind I like. All you want. And they're begging you to come to their suite and drink with them. And I've been in those suites going, looks good. Now, I'll be honest with you too. Now, I am not one of those guys that shot whiskey. I am the guy that had the little fruity drink with the umbrella in it, but I could drink a bunch of them. I could drink a bunch of them. But I'll be in the suite watching them drinking all that free liquor. Again, free liquor. That's the best kind. And they're laughing and they're getting loud. And see, I'm getting irritated because they're getting drunk. And then a time or two, I thought, well, I could probably do that. But then the thought comes back in my mind. Or no, God speaks to me. Ain't no thought of mine. God tells me, no, you can't. And then I'll leave. And then the next morning when we're all in the meetings and they're all red in the face, and my partner, one day we was walking down the hall and all of a sudden he just had to stop and he had to stick his head in a trash can so he could throw up. We was right there at the elevator. And I'm talking about it's one of them round ones. I mean, you had to stick your head in it. And then the elevator opens, and there's all kind of people just watching him with his head in the garbage can throwing up. And I'm going, thank you, God, I did not drink. Because I've had my head in the garbage can. Matter of fact, I used to tell people all the time, I got tired of waking up in the bushes naked. And the bad part, there was never my bushes. Always somebody else's bushes. And, I'm glad you can laugh, because there was a time where I couldn't laugh about that. But I know you can relate. I know you can relate. But to get through that and not drink, again, it's the program and God of my understanding. And I hope y'all have one. And really, if there's anybody out there today struggling with that, just believe that I believe it with all of my heart. I'm convinced that he'll help you if you let him. But now, again, I came in here with nothing. And today, I mean, I just, my business is just flourishing. There's no other way to put it, flourishing. And to be happily married. I mean, happily married. I'm telling you, I love that girl. I've been gone all week, and I'm just waiting on 9 o'clock so I can get home and see her. Now, that's huge for this alcoholic, because I would have been more worried about partying than going home. Because now, today, I own the company. I can buy all the liquor I want. And I'm not even thinking about that, but I could be. And I can tell you from experience, now my company had not quite as big as it is now, but I've been pretty close. And when you have a business like that, you can drink a whole lot before it catches up with you. But when it catches up with you, it's bad. Like I said, it'd take 5 or 6 years just to fix it, clean it up. You know, and I hate that, cleaning it up sometimes. But now I've learned that 10th step is, to me, one of the most important steps there are. Because, again, I understood exactly what Jake felt. I'd been ready to kill that cow, too. Or if you hurt me, I couldn't get that out of my mind. I'd be looking for revenge. And it would consume my life, depending on how bad you hurt me. You know, we were talking about cleaning up the mess and fixing it. You know, the Georgia Power guy used to come over and he'd turn off my lights, and I'd go out there and cuss him out, tell him he don't understand. Then the cable guy, he'd come, I'd cuss him out. He didn't understand either. Then when they repossessed my car, if I could have called them, I'd have cussed them out. And the point is, now I learned from y'all that when they send that little bill to your mailbox, if you'll write them a good check, they will not come and bother you. And I appreciate y'all teaching me that. It works. I'm telling you. I have experience there now. And the bank would have run me out the door. Now when I go in the bank, they call me Mr. Hartman. And they mean it. And again, thank y'all for teaching me that. Because I'm telling you, I didn't know that. I always spent mine on booze and drugs. I figured they'd cut me some slack, but they don't. They cut it off. And it's little things like the making amends. That's the inventories. See, the inventory is where I learned, wow, you're really not a nice guy. You really are a liar, a cheat. And I was a thief. I was an adulterer. I was not a good father, because I would go spend money on drinking and maybe instead of getting groceries, or instead of paying the light bill. And that's what I do. Now, I we talk about hard times. You know, just because we get sober, life's still going to happen. People are going to die. Companies are going to close. People are going to lose jobs. I mean, that's just the truth. But now, working the steps, doing the deal, I can promise you, you can survive. You can make it. And if you got friends like I got, if they got any inclination you're struggling, they're going to come and help you. And again, I have experience. And, you know, the day my son told me, I mean, he was mad. He looked me right in the eyes and he said, "I hate your guts. And I don't want nothing to do with you. I hate you." I'm going to tell you, I cried for 2 days. And then for several months after that, I kept asking my sponsor, "How can I fix that? How can I fix that?" He said, "You can't. You just got to keep doing the deal one day at a time. It's the only way it's going to be fixed." And I really, I'm a couple of times there, I wasn't sure he knew what he was talking about. But I'm going to tell you, he did. I'm going to tell you today, you know, my son calls me every day. I say every day. He don't call me on Saturday and Sunday because he's with his family. But Monday through Friday, he calls me every day. And he tells me, "I love you, Dad." And then he tells me stuff like, "Thank you, Dad." And I'm like, "Man, thank you, God." And, you know, his mama, and I'm not doing her inventory, she has supervised visitation with those kids. See, and like I said earlier, I can take them anywhere I want to. I was joking with somebody. You know, my dad taught me, well, I got three granddaughters, and my dad taught me early on, I get my love the old-fashioned way. I buy it. And with three girls, you know, that's easy to do because they love me. They spent last weekend with me, and, I mean, we just had a ball. We rode four-wheelers. We rode horses. We played in the mud. We threw mud pies at each other. I mean, we just had a ball. And I promise you, Sunday afternoon, I was ready for them all to go home. Because I'm going to tell you, there is something to this empty nesting if you've not experienced it. It's pretty nice. But, yeah, I was ready for them to go home. But now I'm taking them to the beach next week. And they're pumped. They've been sending me texts showing me pictures of their bathing suits. And they're pumped. They're ready to go. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, I can take them. I'm just so, you know, my son only saw me drunk for a little while. I mean, I could, you know, from 89 to 99, I was sober, something like that. And I don't remember exact dates. And then I went out for just 2 years. 2 years. I can't imagine what, I mean, if you think about it, you may not have ever been able to fix it if I'd been drinking all that time. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's just, again, I'm guessing. But, 2 years. And, you know, in case anybody has any doubt, where it says, and I don't know exactly where it says it, but it says whenever you go back out, it's going to be just like you never stopped. They know exactly what they're talking about. Because even after all that time, it did not take me long to be right back where I started, drinking every day, all day, drinking all night, not paying my bills, not doing nothing. See, I got a good forgetter too. And then y'all taught me to pay my bills, but I forget when I'm drinking. And it didn't take me long. Just like I had never stopped. It's a fact. Or it was for me. So, again, when Natalie called, as much as I wanted to tell her no, because in my company, when we have a meeting like this, I'm telling you, Tim goes, "Are you nervous?" Well, yeah. I mean, I'm standing in front of a whole bunch of people talking. That makes me very nervous. But I saw him get up here and read. Were you nervous? But it makes me so nervous that when I have a company meeting, and our meetings can be this big, I don't do the speaking. I usually tell somebody what I want said and let them say it, because it makes me that nervous. But for some reason, I don't feel that way today. You know, for a minute or two, I was a little jittery, but I don't feel that way today. And you know, if there's anything that anybody can, again, get out of this, is just don't quit. Keep coming back. Now, I'm going to tell you now, too, we're about out of time, but now, there was confusion for me sometimes, and, you know, when they, you know, God will help you. There's no doubt in my mind. But now, you can't just sit there. You got to go do something. And one time, the way it was put to me by my cook was, tell you what, boy, go lock yourself in the closet when you're hungry and pray for God to slide you a hot dog through the keyhole. And he said, it ain't going to happen. He said, but come out of the closet, tell God you're hungry, and then go do something to help yourself find something to eat, and I guarantee you he'll feed you. So the point there is you can pray and you can ask God for help, but now you got to take an action. You got to show him you want it. And again, that's just my opinion. Every time I show him I want something, he helps me get it. And if I don't get it, then that was because he didn't want me to have it. But now most of the time, if I show him I want it, he helps me get it. If I show him I want to be sober, he helps me stay sober. And again, this is a program of action. You got to do something. You got to work the step. You know, and again, I just can't believe that I sat here and looked at that first step. Now, again, they no lights, no cable, then took my car, repossessed my house, didn't have no checking account. And I'm going, well, I don't think my life's unmanageable. And I believed it. That's the thing, I believed it. And, that is my problem, is what's up here. So, thank you all for letting me come, and thank you for sitting there, and I hope it wasn't too painful for any of you. And if I don't hang around long afterwards, please don't take it wrong. But now, like I said, I love that red-headed grandma, and I'm going to go hang out with her. Thank you.